said, your eternal pastor is still here. You just have a different guy up here preaching. So Jesus is the one in charge. It tells us what we ought to be doing, which is the work of ministry. And he also tells us how to do it. And so the one that's in charge, which is Jesus, he's the one that calls certain people to be pastors or evangelists or teachers. And so he's the one that comes and he lays a call on your heart. And God is calling on all young men and women to serve him and give him that call to get involved in the church. And so God's the one that does the calling. He's the one that calls them to do that. And then he says, what I want you to do, as he calls those leaders, is to equip the saints. That is to build the church. That doesn't just mean that we're to be stronger. It means we're to be bringing people into the church so they know Jesus is the Lord and Savior. We're to be building up and growing the church. And then the next question is how long? In verse 13, he says, till we're all perfected, until we're all in glory. So how long is the church supposed to be working? Till Jesus comes. It's exactly right. The church is supposed to always work. There's not a time that we step back and say, okay, well, we've made it, or we've arrived, or it's too hard, or whatever. That doesn't happen. He says, you keep doing the work of the ministry until. Now, the threat to the church, he says, is this. False doctrine. Trickery of men. Cunningness. Deceit. And we see that in the American church. American church sometimes, you know, I know not your church because I know Brother John, but, you know, some churches are just, they're following men and not really God. They're following what the newest guy wrote in some book about how to do church or whatever. And, you know, we're doing purpose-driven, or we're doing seeker-sensitive, or we're doing reformed, or whatever it is we're doing. And we're just following men. And when God needs to be the leader. And so as I pastored for about 42 years, every once in a while these books would come out, and they would tell me, as a pastor, how to build a church. I remember one girl, she told me, yeah, this is how you build a church. You don't have any preaching, you just have music. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound like much of a church to me. But anyway, especially I would be out of a job in the church. But, you know, I read these books, and these books tell you how to, you know, we have this godless society, and how are you going to relate to this society and stuff. And most of the books that I read, and most of the things that I heard, kind of boils down to this. Say nothing offensive. Do nothing offensive. And the idea is if we don't say anything offensive, if we don't say anything, you know, just that the world's not going to like, then maybe we can get them to come into our church. And they can sit here in our church. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a great business motto. I wish our sports people and our Hollywood people and our businesses would adopt the motto, let's not do anything offensive. And let's not say anything offensive. Let's just do our job, which is to catch a football, or let's just, you know, sing or whatever it is, and let's just not be telling everybody else how to live. That's a great model for businesses, and I wish they would do it. And for some, they say that makes sense, that we as a church ought to do the same thing. That we as a church ought to become, you know, just not offensive anyway. Say nothing offensive. Now, there's one problem with that. Does anybody know what it is? We're not a business, correct? We're not a business. We're not about how big are we going to be, or you know, how many people are going to like us, or if we go downtown, they're going to say, yay, you know, the church, or whatever. We're not trying to be popular. We're not trying to make a sale. The Bible tells us that we are a representation of God on earth. He tells us this in 2 Corinthians. He says, you are ambassadors for Christ. Now, an ambassador doesn't make his own policy. Not supposed to. An ambassador is supposed to tell the policy of the person that he is representing. And that's what we're to do as a church. And so we're not a business. We're not trying to, you know, whatever, to be big or whatever. We are simply being a representation of God in a godless world. We're a beacon of light in a very, very dark world. We're an army of truth. Guys, we're battling the lies of Satan, and I don't know about you, but it bothers me all the lies that our young people are being fed. It just bothers me to know, and I feel bad for them. My heart breaks for them. They're being lied to and lied to and lied to. And so we can't adopt some kind of motto that says we're not going to be offensive, because the gospel, unfortunately, is offensive to some people. Can you imagine if the United States Marines, let's hope they don't do this, but they got together and said, let's change our motto from always faithful to never offend. Can you imagine United States Marines, their motto is going to be never offend. The United United States Marines, by just the nature of who they are going to offend our enemies, right? And so we're hoping they don't do that. Well, we as Christians, we cannot change our motto. When I look at this passage, I come down to verse 15, because everything boils down to verse 15. We're to have these people called of God, or to build the church, don't get caught up in the world's ideas. And in verse 15, he says this: but don't be following the world's ideas, and don't be doing them. But he says, you as a church, speak the truth in love. If I were to adopt a motto for the church, the motto saying this is what we're about, it would be this: to speak the truth in love. And God, who's in charge, is the one that wrote this. He's the one that gave it to us and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to, you can see a three-point sermon here, right? If you can't, you'll get it here in a minute. Right, speak is the very first thing we're going to look at. God has called us to speak. Now, we live in a world, a lost world, and we all know that. It's always been lost, but it's even more lost now. But we live in a lost world that says to you as Christians and to me as a pastor and us as a church to be silent in the public square. Don't take your faith out of the church. You can come in here all day long, keep your windows closed, you can talk about Jesus, but whatever you do when you go out there, don't say anything. That's what they want. Don't let it somehow affect your life. You remember when Judge Amy Barrett was being nominated or being confirmed, the biggest problem that people had with Judge Amy Barrett, you remember what it was? She was a Christian. And they were just going berserk. She is a Christian. And they said this. They said, she will bring her Christian values into the courtroom, as though the lost do not bring in their godless values into the courtroom. But the point is, they were going to say that Christianity is a threat to our culture. We cannot have someone that's going to have Christian values. You need to keep your church stuff in your church. The lost want us to be silent. And so some Christians, and I don't know why, in some churches, I even know some churches and I know some pastors personally that actually adopt this concept, well, then let's just be silent because we don't want to offend anybody. Let's just be silent. Let's not speak our faith out loud. Let's be sensitive to what might offend people, and let's not do anything that might make them upset. Let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible has the Lord ever said to his people, be quiet? He told Elijah, you remember this? He said, Elijah, I want you to go to King Ahab, but I want you to say, King Ahab, you're rotten to the core, and it's not going to rain. No more, no more. Right? And that's exactly what Elijah did. This is out of Ezekiel, and I've got my, this is a cheat sheet, so that you all don't have to be waiting for me to turn there, and we'll still get out in time to eat. But this is Ezekiel, and chapter 2, and God is talking to Ezekiel, in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, if you want to look it up, he's talking to Ezekiel, and he says this, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them. He's talking about the godless people all around him. Don't be afraid of them, nor afraid of their words, because they're going to say some mean things to you. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, don't be afraid of their words. Don't be dismayed at their looks when they roll their eyes at you and mock you, for they are rebellious. Verse 7, he says this, you shall speak my words to them. And whether they hear or whether they don't hear, for they are rebellious, you are going to speak my words to them. Do you remember when Peter was, you know, at the resurrection, somebody was healed and stuff, and they pulled them together? This is in Acts chapter 4. And Acts chapter 4, they called them together. You guys know this story. They called Peter and John together, and they commanded them, do not speak at all in the name of Jesus. These are the religious leaders. These are the people in power. These are the people that just killed Jesus not that long ago. And they told Peter, you cannot speak. Keep your mouth shut. And Peter said, okay, I'm really sorry that we offended you. That's not what Peter said, is it? That would be the new translation. Here's what Peter says. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Love verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. John the Baptist, he's out there and he's preaching. And here come the Pharisees. I don't know they were offended by this, but he called them a brood of vipers. Do you remember that? And he told them to bring forth fruit that was good for repentance. I mean, he just called them out. You just understand the Bible's constantly saying, go out and speak. Remaining silent is actually a sin for the church. Let's just say you go to the doctor and you're very sick. You got rashes, you've got joints that ache, you've got just problems, nerves giving you problems, you got everything, and you go to the doctor, you're trying to figure out what's going on. The doctor knows what it is. You have a wheat allergy. But he doesn't want to tell you because he knows you love cinnamon rolls. And so he doesn't want to offend you, he doesn't want to upset you. So he says, I don't know, take an aspirin, see if that helps. Guys, that would be wrong. Would he not be wrong? Or let's just say even worse, let's just say that your brother, like your nephew, is getting involved in drugs, maybe some meth, and you know it. You know it for a fact your brother doesn't know it. And you think, well, I don't want to offend my brother and tell him that his child's about to destroy his life. I think I'll just be quiet. That would be wrong. Just to let someone die and destroy their life. So also the church, guys, we know what destroys life. Right? We know that sin destroys life. All the pain and all the sorrow, all the problems, all the hate, all the prejudice and all the stuff that's going on in America today, it can all be traced back to one thing, which is sin. Every bit of it. Sin always brings pain. It always brings sadness. It always brings misery. And finally, if we don't repent and come to Jesus, it ends up in death and hell. And yet we say nothing. We keep silent because we might offend somebody. Jesus says, no. He says, you are what? The salt of the world. You are the light of the world. A silent church is good for nothing. And so we speak. We confront. And we influence our cultures, even if it seems like we're losing. The Bible says, speak. But the second word we see is the truth. Now, I think about the truth. That doesn't mean it's my truth. I don't know about you, but I'm so sick of hearing people say, well, that's your truth, this is my truth. There's only one truth, and that's God's truth, right? I don't speak my truth or my opinions, because that's all. When they say your truth and my truth, it just means your opinion and my opinion. Truth doesn't change. You can't have one truth, this truth. You've got one truth, it's God's truth. And so we don't speak our opinions. We don't speak our political viewpoints, although I could, but I'm not going to. We could speak our thoughts and our ideas and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible says, no, I want you to speak the truth, God's truth. So guys, we don't add to Scripture. We don't take away the offensive. The Bible says that all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. Do you know what that means? All have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. If you had a seminary degree like me, you'd understand that verse. No, I'm just kidding. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's very simple. We understand it, and we preach that. Guys, everybody's a sinner. Everybody needs to come to Jesus. And calling sin, sin is offensive to our world, but we still have to tell the truth. Guys, greed is sin. Going to destroy our country. Greed is. Greed is sin. Pride is sin. Prejudice is sin. All the perversion we see is sin. The hate that we see is sin. Self-righteousness is sin. And we're not going to list everything. There's 100 things. And everything that's a sin, do you know why God calls it a sin and tells us not to do it? Because it destroys your life. Everything in here you see that God calls a sin, it will destroy your life. It'll destroy your community. It'll destroy your nation. And as a church, we need to be telling people the truth. These things are destructive. These things destroy life. These things, without knowing Jesus, well, you're not saved. The godless don't want to hear the truth. That's why they want us to stay in our churches and not get outside and say anything. They don't want to hear truth anymore than a teenager wants their parents to tell them the truth either. But truth is essential. This is John chapter 3, verse 36. I know you guys know this verse. This is the truth, guys. Listen. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. That is the truth. If you've come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've repented, you've fallen before Him, you've made Him your Lord and your Savior, he who believes in the Son, because believe in is an action, by the way. It's not passive, like, oh, I believe there's an ocean, I believe there's whatever. This is I believe in, and I'm committed to it. He who believes in the Son of God, the Son, has eternal life, and he who does not believe the Son, what does it say, shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Guys, that's the truth. And as a church, we have to be preaching this truth. There's no salvation in anything other than Jesus. Churches can't save you. Goodness can't save you. Being ignorant doesn't save you. You need to come and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what the church is to be preaching. Now we have another option besides preaching the truth. We could preach a lie. Right? We could do that. We could say what the godless world wants us to say. We could say, you know what? What they want to hear is that there's no judgment coming. That's what they want to hear. So we could preach, there's no judgment coming. We could preach, there's many ways to God, because that's what they want to hear, isn't it? You have your way, we have our way. You know, our way is doing nothing and whatever, but you know, we many ways to God. Or I actually know some Baptist churches that preach this. I know yours doesn't, praise the Lord. God is fine with however you live. It doesn't make any difference. God doesn't care. You don't have to repent. Repentance is not necessary. Isn't it amazing? When they asked Peter, they said, what must we do to be saved? The first word Peter said was, repent. Yes. And then John said, man, you got to repent. The Bible tells us you got to repent. But here preachers are saying, you know what? You don't have to repent. Let's just tell a lie. You can just keep living like you're living and doing like you're doing. You don't need to come to Jesus. Don't need to make Jesus your Lord. Have any way you want to go to God. It's fine. Everything's wonderful. There's not really sin. We could preach that. And unfortunately, you guys know there are some churches that are doing it, and how sad that is. Paul writes this. You know these verses. You've heard them before. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And we have churches that are filling up with people that are not preaching the truth. They're telling you, it doesn't matter. You don't have to repent. You don't have to come to Jesus. You know, this is not a new thing. Did you know that? If you go back to the book of Jeremiah, this is in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, verses 16 and 17. Because that's what these preachers are doing back there. You got Jeremiah who's saying, guys, you need to repent. You're not following God. You need to repent. But there's a whole bunch more preachers that were telling the people, you don't have to repent. Everything's wonderful. Here's what God says in Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the one that's in charge. God says, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision from their own heart, not from the mouth of God. They continually say to those who despise me, this is what they're preaching, the Lord has said you have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of their own heart, they say, no evil will come upon you. God goes on to say, I hate these false preachers. John chapter 6, interesting story. You ought to read it this afternoon when we get home. John chapter 6, you go about around somewhere around verse 60, toward the end of the chapter. Jesus is preaching, and he's preaching how he is the only way to heaven. He says, I am the manna. I am the bread of life. You have to partake of me. And the Bible says that as he was preaching, that people became offended at what he said. Right, so Jesus is preaching, saying, I am the bread of life. Come to me. And the crowd, this big crowd out there, and they start to be offended. Jesus does not say, by the way, I'm sorry I offended you. Let me change my message. Jesus says this, I think it's in verse 60. He says, does this offend you? Well, let me tell you the truth, guys. You're going to see me in glory. I mean, he just went from like this type of offense up to this type of offense. He says, let me tell you the truth. You must come to me. And so the Bible says that a lot of them left Jesus. I mean, these people walked away from Jesus. And can you imagine some pastors today would be going, wait. I'm going to change my message. But not Jesus. They walked away. And he turns to his disciples and he says, do you want to leave also? And Peter answers, love the answer. Where would we go? You have the words of life. You got to speak the truth. You got to speak, but you got to speak the truth, God's truth. Then we get to the last one. It says, in love, not in judgment, not condemning. A lot of churches do this. They speak the truth, but they do so in a condescending way. They do so in a condemning way. They do so, you know, just in a judgmental, you're lower than dirt way. But God says, I don't want you to preach the gospel like that. I want you to preach the gospel in a pure way, in a heart with love. When I first started pastoring, I was 23 years old. I'm from Buffalo, New York. I grew up in New York. I had poor grammar, just so you know. And I didn't pronounce words very well. I've since learned to speak Missourian so you all can understand me. Otherwise, I'd say, these guys over there, you know, they need to go get a pizza, you know. We went home on a mission trip back up that way, and I just fell right back into that Buffalo, New York stuff. So anyway, so I'm preaching, if you can imagine, and I have poor grammar. People don't know what D's and D's are, because there are no T-H's in New York. There's just D's. D's and D's and those guys and stuff. So, and I'm dropping sentences, which I still do, apparently. Boy, did I mispronounce words. They never taught us phonics in New York. When I remember my children were growing up, and there's these letter people, and I was fascinated, because I never heard of phonics ever in my life. So I mispronounce words. I'd see a word, and I go, bleh, I don't know. So I'm up here preaching, and I'm doing a terrible job, and I probably have a poor outline, and I'm in this little church. There's about, you know, 20 people there or whatever. And there's this little brother. He sat right in the front pew, right well where I sat. And as I would preach, he would shake his head. He would do this. He would do this. He would do this. You know? And then after church, he'd go, you know, you mispronounced this word. Yeah, I did. I saw the word feigned, and I said fainted, and he pointed it out to me right after church. I mean, I couldn't even get to the back door. He was telling me all the mistakes I made and everything that went poorly, and he was telling people what a terrible pastor I was. Guys, I'm going to tell you the truth. He just made me angry. It just was, you don't have no idea what it's like to be preaching, and somebody's down there going, ugh, the whole time, rolling her eyes and shaking her head while you're preaching. He made me angry. I would go home, and my wife, she would point out the very same things. Very same things. But I listened to my wife, and you guys know why. Because husbands always listen to their wives. No, that wasn't it. I listened to my wife because I know that she cared. I did tell her, you have to stop after three things, though. I'm going to quit. But I knew that my wife was really concerned about me, and she wanted me to do well. She wanted me to improve. She said, see, you've got to lose the D's and D's. You've got to put your T-H's on words, and you've got to do this kind of stuff. She genuinely cared, and she loved me, and I listened. That's where the church needs to be. That's where the church needs to be. In love with people. Concern for their salvation. The godless. Guys, when I see the godless, when I see people protesting, and I see people doing stuff, my heart breaks for them. Satan has lied to them. You realize that? They believed the lie. They're like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus says. The Bible says that Jesus looked upon and said, they're like a sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. That's where we need to be. The godless and the haters and the apathetic. Oh, my goodness, you have apathetic in your community? Because we have them in Fairytown. Don't care. But I want so much for them to know Jesus. Even we have enemies, we've got to say, I truly, not just say it, it's got to be in our heart, I truly care about them. I'm genuinely motivated for concern that they would come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. My goodness, wouldn't it be great? I want them to find out about you. I want all these young people to find peace. I've had an awesome life following Jesus. And every Christian in here that walks with Jesus is going to say, there is no life like walking with Jesus. There's a peace, there's a joy. My family's at peace, I'm at peace, life is good. And I want them to find this peace, I want them to find this joy, I want them to find the purpose that I found, I want them to find the happiness, I want them to find the future that I have. Our motivation has to be love. God, what's God's motivation for coming and dying on the cross? The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, for God so what? Loved the world. His motivation, and the Bible says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. We need to show the world we love them. We're concerned about them. Now, not judgment and condemning and condescending. That's not going to work. I truly want you to see you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I see this as the model for the church. Speak up. I know the world tells you to be silent. I know your friends tell you they don't want to hear about it. But you need to speak up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. And tell them the truth. You know, sometimes you don't want to hear the truth, but you need to hear it. You need to hear, and they need to hear the truth about God. For God so loved this world, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But the other side is true too. For those that reject him, there's nothing but the wrath of God. But do so. And you have genuine concern. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this challenge, Lord, this outline, this blueprint that you've given us for a church. Lord, I know you love this church. I know you're using this church. I pray, Father, that it might continue to speak the truth and do so in love. In the name of Jesus.